I want to lay out, let's see here, go forward one slide, there we go. I want to lay out where we're going to go for the rest of 2021, because believe it or not, 2021 is coming to an end sooner than we might like to think. So this week and next week, we're going to look at a couple passages that talk about remaining in Jesus and taking root in Him and what that looks like. And then on the 21st, we're going to celebrate another church holiday, which is Christ the King Sunday, which is a Sunday that reminds us that Christ is supreme over all things and over all people. And then we're going to go eat a big Thanksgiving dinner, and we're going to come back, and then the season of Advent will begin after Thanksgiving. And that'll take us through the celebration of the birth of Jesus to the end of 2021. So if you're a planner, if you're a type A personality, if you're a 5 on the Enneagram, that's where we're going. If you're none of those things, forget it, and just know that today we're looking at John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. You can pull that up on the Bible app or ourcovenant.org/weekly. So what I'm going to start with today, I'm going to do something that I love to do. I'm going to talk about something that I know absolutely nothing about. It's one of my favorite things to do. And today's topic is gardening. All right, I know nothing about gardening. How many of you know something about gardening? All right, good. You can all put me in my place later, because I'm going to try and talk about something I know nothing about. I'm not a gardener. I've never been a gardener. I can't tell you anything about gardening except the basics, that plants need food and water and light, basically like anything else, to grow and to sustain and to continue in this world. And it's actually kind of ironic, I think, that I don't know anything about gardening. My dad worked for 36 years in the agronomy department at Purdue, and he likes to garden, but those genes never made it down the tree, I guess, so such is life. I much prefer plants that I have to dust off instead of water, if you know what I mean. I just dust it off once a week, and amen, yeah, good, yeah, so those are great. One of the things I struggle with when it comes to gardening is that plants need constant checking in, upkeep, and care. All the time. I already have children in my life that need upkeep and care and checking in, right? Like, why would I add plants to that? If you remember the old commercial from the 90s, the Ronco food dehydrator, you just set it and forget it, right? I want to plant it and forget it. Like, let it grow, or let me just dust it. That'd be great. But plants need care. Plants need care. You got to go back to your plants. You got to nurture them. You have to cut off what is dying so what is living can grow. You have to spend time and understand the soil and the ground and the sunlight and the water and all those different things so that your plant can grow and have life. And even then, as a gardener, you have to sometimes make the difficult decision that you have to cut something out. You have to pull it up. You have to throw it away. You have to start over because it's not working out. Gardening and tending to the ground was the original job. Human beings were given this earth to steward over, the plants and the animals and everything in it, to make sure that what God had made sustains and lasts and reflects the goodness and the glory of God. That's another sermon for another day, but you get the idea here. And Jesus today in our passage is going to use some very familiar imagery about gardening, planting, pruning, and bearing fruit when it comes to our own spiritual life and our life with Jesus. So as we look at our passage today, we're going to try and answer a question that maybe you've thought about in your own life. How do I know if I'm bearing fruit for the kingdom of God? How do I know if I'm bearing fruit for the kingdom of God? How do I know if I'm on the right track to be faithful, to love God and love others well? How can I know? So let's look at the words of Jesus today, and maybe we can find some peace for that question in our life. So let's look, John 15, 1 through 17. I'm going to read from the NIV today. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Jesus, for speaking these words to the disciples, and now it's been carried to us. So help us this morning as we consider what it means to remain in you and to bear fruit and how to do that. Reveal it to us this morning, Holy Spirit. May our ears be open to what you have to say to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's get a little context before we begin. John 14 through 17, it's oftentimes called the farewell discourse, or we can call it in modern terms the long goodbye. All right, Jesus is giving his long goodbye to his disciples. They've sat together. They shared a Passover meal together. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. He predicts that one of them is going to deny him and another one is going to betray him that he just sat in a room and had a meal with. And then he starts teaching about grief and joy, about receiving the Holy Spirit, and he prays for the disciples, and then he prays for us as well, actually, before he's arrested and begins the road to the cross. And so as Jesus begins teaching in John 15, he does something here that shows us how he's a masterful teacher. He takes something that the listeners would already have understood in their context, and he takes and applies it in a new way to their life. He's always engaging with the culture. He's always engaging with the common understanding of what people know and altering that to teach them a new lesson about God, about the Father, and about himself. So the context for today is a vine, a gardener, and the idea of growing, blossoming, budding vines that a gardener or a vine dresser would have to prune and cut away so to continue to be healthy. So first off, that'd be a really familiar metaphor for people living in Israel. Israel is known for its many vineyards, grapes that grow wine, of course, in the northern part that has lush green lands. Most likely you would know someone if you lived there who was a vineyard keeper or a vine dresser or a gardener in this translation. Just like if you live in West Lafayette, odds are you know somebody who works at Purdue. Pretty fair to say. Or maybe if you even go to this church, you know somebody who works at Purdue. Or if you live in Lafayette, odds are you know somebody who works at Subaru or Caterpillar. It's just that's what the main profession is. And the role of a vine dresser or a gardener was to care for the vine. If you ever had plants in your house, you have to do two things. Like I said, you got to prune them. You got to care for them. You got to make sure that what is dead isn't crowding around what is living, so that what is living can grow and flourish and produce good things. And Jesus is talking to people who have that basic understanding of the vine. So on top of that, there's an Old Testament thing that Jesus is speaking to. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was the vine. And God was the one who was doing the pruning of Israel so that Israel could grow. Or sometimes, God is the one that was doing the cutting off of Israel and throwing them out because they weren't being obedient, because they were worshiping idols, because they were withholding justice, and he was throwing them out to be burnt. Isaiah 5:7. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but he heard cries of distress. So Israel as a vine was this really important image, because the vine needs nourishment. It needs to be tended to by God in order to grow, and Israel doesn't want to lose that identity. And one more point of context before we jump in. They just finished the Passover meal that was, of course, Jesus and his disciples, so 13 people sitting there. You can imagine they probably had a few bottles of red wine, right? They were sitting and drinking with this Passover meal. And if you're a visual learner, I want you to imagine they finished the meal. Jesus is reclining at the table. Maybe he's got a glass of wine in his hand, He's about to teach you about grapes that were used to make this wine. He's going to talk about the vines that this wine came from. And so in that larger context, here comes Jesus speaking to a group of people who always thought of themselves as the vine, and he says to them, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Not Israel, not you, me, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, and you are the ones who grow from me. You are the ones who branch out from me, the one who gives life. So what Jesus does here is he changes our focus. We are no longer the source that God is pouring into. We are the ones who find ourselves attached to the source of life, who is Jesus, who then pours into us and allows us to grow. It's a small difference, but it's an important difference. Why? Because if we are the vine, then we can sustain ourselves. We just need God's help every now and then. Just a little bit to be poured into, and we'll be good. But if Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, then we have to stay attached to that vine. Because apart from him, we will not be able to do anything. We are to see ourselves as so deeply and intimately attached to Jesus that apart from him, it would be like death. And from him, we draw the life that we need for life. Jesus says, as you find yourself in me, remain in me, the vine that gives life. I want to do something this morning I don't ever do. I want to go to the King James version of the Bible, okay, the good old King James, because there's this word that the King James uses that I think is much better than any word that we have in any modern translation. John 15:4 from the King James. Ooh, I can't see that. Okay. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Ye, good word. That's not the word I want you to think about, not ye. It's the word abide. Abide. I want us to sit with that word. If you go to Google and search a definition of the word abide, it's going to give you like a legal definition, a few other things. And at the very bottom, it's going to say in parentheses, archaic, as in this is a really old definition that we don't use anymore. And that old definition means to dwell with. To dwell with. Jesus says here, the basis of our fruitfulness in life is rooted in your ability to dwell with me. As you dwell with me, you will bear fruit. What does it mean to dwell with Jesus? Well, think about how you dwell in your own house. Maybe you live in a house. Maybe you live in an apartment. Think about what your day looks like. You get up on a regular or an ideal day. You have a cup of coffee, you sit in your chair, you roll through the news or your email. Hopefully you do a little devotional before you head out for the day. You go to work, and then you come home, and you got to find a moment to rest in your home. You sit on the couch, maybe you shower at the end of the day, you share a meal together, you eat at home, you relax with a little TV or video games or music or whatever at the end of the day, then you lay down and go to sleep. You've dwelled in your house that day. And as you dwell in your house, as you live there, you start to learn little things about your house that you didn't expect, right? You know that there's this one floorboard that creaks a lot, or that one toilet that keeps running no matter how many times you fix it, or the window that won't stay shut even though you tell your spouse you fixed it several times, right? All these little things that come up as you dwell in your house, you learn about it intimately, inside and out. Some of your best moments are there. So it is to dwell with Jesus intimately, inside and out. You learn all the little things. The Holy Spirit reveals his heart for the world, the lost and the sick. You learn about dying to yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. As you abide with Jesus, he teaches you what it means to love others well, what it looks like to care for his creation well, to be a good house guest in the world that he's made. As you abide with Jesus, you learn all the intricacies of what it means to follow him all the days of your life. You fall in love with Jesus more and more as you abide. You gain a bigger vocabulary of what it means to love Jesus and love others. As you abide, he begins to know you inside and out, and you begin to know him more and more inside and out, and you learn about his love. Church, we move at a pace in our lives today that we hardly have any time to abide with Jesus anymore. We're going from one thing to the next, and we get little bites of Jesus instead of dwelling with him and abiding with him and sitting with him. We throw up Hail Mary prayers. And I don't mean we're praying to Mary. I mean we throw up a prayer like, Lord, help this work out, and I rush out the door. Right? Help this work. Let me go. We think what it means, we know what it means to love others, but what about the deeper teaching that Jesus wants to do in our lives? We have to abide in Jesus. We have to dwell with him. We have to sit with him. We have to rest with him. And then you will bear fruit. In this entire passage I just read, Jesus only gives us two commands. There's only two commands he tells us. Abide in me and ask me for what you need. That's it. Abide in me and ask me for what you need. There's no command in this verse for developing good fruit. There's no command in this verse that lays the responsibility on you to do for the kingdom, because it's all up to you if everything fails or succeeds. Jesus says, remain in me, ask me for what you need. That's it. That's what I'm calling you to do, to dwell in me and ask me for what you need, and you will be fruitful. And that's really backwards of how we think of the world today, you know, about bearing fruit. If you work and you have a boss maybe that looks over your shoulder, or you are the boss that sometimes looks over others' shoulders, we feel like I gotta meet with X amount of people this week. I gotta turn over this much inventory this week. I gotta make sure the kids have the best test results as a teacher. I gotta work harder and longer and more hours. I gotta pour myself completely into this to bear fruit for my job, my family, my household, and we wonder why we're worn down. Jesus says, you wanna bear fruit? It's not about that. Abide in me, dwell in me, rest in me. Because you cannot grow apart from me. You cannot grow if you do not dwell with me. Just as a branch is ripped from a tree and thrown to the ground, you cannot grow. Jesus says, I am the vine. You must abide in me to bear fruit. And here comes God the Father. He is the constant gardener. And the Father has two roles. The first one is that he prunes us. He prunes us. He cuts off the excess and the already dead so that we can bear fruit. And the other role is to cut off the branches that are not bearing fruit. Now, generally speaking, we don't want to be cut in this life, right? We don't look or walking around getting paper cuts or wanting to get cut or anything like that. We want to avoid getting cut. And we kind of carry that over into our spiritual life. I don't want to be cut. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to sit in the difficult things. I don't want to reveal those places to you, Jesus. I'm going to hold those things in like this. I'm not going to reveal those to you. Who are we fooling? Ourselves. Right? He knows us. So as Christians, we develop these unhealthy things where we run from one thing to the next. We're constantly going, and we're a mile wide and an inch deep sometimes in our life. Just so I don't have to get cut. Just so I don't have to dwell and have things exposed that need to come out. Jesus says, that's not what it means to be with me. Abide with me. Dwell with me. Let me get to know you intimately. And I want you to know me intimately so that I can transform you more and more into my image. What we hear Jesus saying this morning is that we cannot avoid being cut. The goal of the follower of Christ is not to avoid being cut. The Father does two types of cutting. He cuts those who bear no fruit, which is painful, but he prunes those who are bearing fruit so that they can bear more fruit. When we abide with Jesus, when we dwell with him, we reveal those intimate places to him so that he reveals what is hindering growth, what needs to be cut away, what are the things that are not of him, so that the fruitful things can grow in our life. When we don't dwell with Jesus, we stop being pruned. The things that are dead, they tend to cloud the things that are growing, and we can't tell one from the other, and they get choked out. We have to find that space, church, to rest, to abide, to dwell with him, to allow him to do that pruning work in us. So that's the first half. The second half, verses 9 through 17, Jesus talks about really five big things that happen when you abide with him. I'm going to run through them real quick. We're going to pick them up down the road, but I'm just going to run through them real quick. But to put it real simply in one sentence, when we abide with Jesus, our priorities change for our lives and for this world. Our priorities change when we abide with Jesus. First thing, when we abide with Jesus, you abide in his love. You abide in his love. My love, Jesus says, is deep for you. And the Father lavishes his love for you. We just spent the last 9 weeks talking about that. I'm not going to come back to that again. You know what I've said about all that in 1 John. But we abide in his love when we abide with Jesus. We learn of his love for us and we grow in that love. Second, when we abide, your joy is made complete. Your joy is made complete. One commentator said this, "The purpose of abiding in the vine is to provide a sense of joy and delight to those who are disciples of Jesus." A sense of joy and delight as a disciple of Jesus. I want you to sit with that thought for a second. Because if I wasn't a Christian, if I was watching TV or going to neighborhood meetings or school board meetings, would it be obvious to me that Christians were operating out of a sense of joy and delight of being Jesus' disciples? Or have we lost that fact? Have we lost the ability to be joyful and delighted for what Jesus has done for us? We see a bunch of people shouting about things at each other, and here's a group of people who don't know Jesus, who are like sheep without a shepherd, and what do they see? Do they see joy and delight? When we abide with Jesus, some of that fruit is joy and delight. And that's not the same as happiness. Don't get me wrong here. Okay, happiness is a momentary flash in the pan. Joy is something that sustains us through every season. The joy that we have in our Savior and the hope that we hold on to in this life and the next. We are called to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And that fruit can only happen when we abide with Jesus. Third thing that happens is we love others well. We learn to love others well. We learn that the greatest love there is to lay down one's life for one's friends. And when we abide with Jesus, we see the world as ones who need to be loved. Jesus has come to pull us out of the darkness into the light of God. And he calls us in this world to see the world through Christ-tinted glasses in everything that we see. The world is not something to be feared or hated, but something that God is actively working to redeem, and he's calling us to that work together. Fourth thing that happens when we abide with Jesus, we call him our friend, and he calls us our friends, right? Friend. Jesus is my friend. Think about all the friends in your life, the lifelong friends that you've known since they were little. You grew up together. You know their ins and outs. You can tell jokes that are 10 years old and you'll still get a laugh out of them, right? After all this time. You become closer together. Maybe your families grow and they become closer together. So it is with Jesus when we abide with him. He knows our name. We get to know him. We share these deep, intimate moments with him, and he transforms us in that space. When we abide with Jesus, we no longer look at him as just a holy other Savior. We see him as a friend who deeply cares about us and everything that goes on in our lives. Lastly, fifth thing, we're appointed to go bear fruit when we abide with Jesus. That's where we started this morning. The early church leaders, when they heard Jesus say these words, they would pull in this imagery from the Old Testament of a well-planted tree, right? And so where he says, "I have appointed you," they would say, "He has planted you where you are." You are planted where you are. Wherever you are, that is where you are to be. It is not a mistake. Abide in me wherever you are planted. Put down roots. You are being fed and watered, and the Father is pruning you. Go bear fruit, good fruit, fruit that will last. And next week, we're going to pick up on that image of the well-planted tree. Actually, Crystal will lead us in that next week, of that well-planted tree and what that looks like from Psalm 1 and how that applies to us as we seek to bear fruit. We'll put some meat and bones on that idea of abiding with Jesus and what that looks like. But this week, it's enough just to think about this. I want you to think about abiding with Jesus, dwelling with him, to sit with him, to be known by him, and to know him, to be known by him, the Savior of the world who comes to know you inside and out, intimately, and loves you, and knows all of your faults, and knows your short temper, and knows your mistakes, and he loves you through them. And he wants to see you through them and bring you through them. The communion table this morning, where we're going next, is one of the most intimate places we come to abide with Jesus. At the same meal where he said, "Hey, I want you to abide with me," he takes bread and he breaks it and he says, "This is my body. You know, we got this big piece of bread and we break it in half, which is a nice image, but odds are Jesus, when he was sitting at that table, he probably took a piece of bread and he broke it, one for each of his disciples. And he handed them a piece. Here's my body for you. Here's my body for you. Here's my body for you. Abide in me. Here's my blood for you, poured out. Poured out for each of you. And I know one of you is going to deny me. I know one of you is going to betray me. And I know none of you will be there with me on the cross. But I love you, Jesus says. Abide in me. Rest in me. In your faults, abide in me. In your hurt, abide in me. In your brokenness, abide. Rest. Remain in me. So as we move to communion this morning, the question for us is very simple. Are you abiding or are you just getting by? Are you abiding or are you just getting by? Take time this week especially to abide, to dwell, to drink deeply from Jesus. I want to invite you in the next few moments here, take whatever posture you want, sitting, standing, kneeling, and abide with Jesus in prayer for a few moments. I'm going to say a couple prayer points here, and I invite you just to reflect on them in silence as we go to the communion table. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your deep love for us, that though you were rejected, you went to that cross. Though everyone left your side, you went to that cross, and you gave of your body and your blood so freely. Jesus, I want to abide in your deep love for me. Help me see what that looks like in my life. Jesus, I want to take joy and delight in you. And I confess sometimes I operate not out of a place of joy and delight. So help me learn what that looks like in my life. Jesus, I want to love others as you love them. Help me with my judgmental heart. Help us with our judgmental hearts, that we may learn to love as you love. Jesus, I want to know you and be known by you as a friend. Jesus, I trust that where you have planted me is where I'm supposed to be. So help me to take root and draw nourishment from you, Jesus, as I abide and dwell with you. You are the vine, Jesus. We are the branches. Apart from you, we can do nothing. We can bear no fruit. Help us this morning for the ways that we try to do it on our own. Forgive us and lead us to that life-giving nourishment that comes from your vine, Jesus, from you. And Father, Lord, it's a difficult prayer, but prune that which needs pruning in each of us, within our church, within our lives, within our communities. You are the constant gardener, the good gardener who prunes and cuts away so that good things can grow. Prune us. Cut away what is dead so that we can find life again in you, Jesus. Help us. Lord, thank you for this communion table. As the Apostle Paul reminds us, the Holy Spirit, search our hearts now in these next few moments of silence, that we can confess any unconfessed sin before we take of the bread and eat of the cup. Please join with me with this prayer of confession, which will be on the screen in front of you. Let's pray together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Scripture tells us if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for each of you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who've sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I declare to you today that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Amen. I invite you now, as the worship team leads us, come forward and take communion, take it back to your seat, and we'll take it together in a moment.